So we've been discovering that when it comes to spiritual warfare, when it comes to standing against Satan, that Scripture, the Bible, is absolutely essential. And that is that we've discovered that in this stand against Satan, that you and I not only have to understand the devices of the devil, but the Bible calls us in Ephesians 6:13 to withstand the dangers of the devil. That even though we have an enemy who's like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, that we've been called to resist him or to withstand in the evil day. The word withstand, the word resist, ladies and gentlemen, come from the same word. They mean the same thing. It's talking about those who continue to move forward and continue serving, continue sharing the gospel, even in the face of a dangerous enemy, that is the devil, who's trying to deceive and devour. And we're like an army moving forward on the offense. Even though the enemy is attacking, we're still moving forward. We're not going to back up. We're not going to sit down. We're not going to step off to the side. But instead, we're going to keep on anyway. That is, keep on serving no matter what. That is, it makes no difference what everybody around us does. It makes no difference, ladies and gentlemen, the response of the world around us. It makes no difference whether our friends like it or whether they don't. It really makes no difference, ladies and gentlemen, whether our family decides to join or not. And that is, here we stand and we're going to keep on standing. We're going to keep on moving forward. We're going to keep on serving no matter what. The enemy can launch attacks through the world around us and those who are close to us, and ladies and gentlemen, even using and enticing our own flesh within us, but we're not going to give in. And we're not going to quit. And even when we fall down, we're going to get back up and get going again. And that's what it means to withstand in the evil day. And ladies and gentlemen, we've discovered that there are essentials, there are keys, there are these provisions of God for us to be able to continue to withstand against the devices, against the dangers of the devil. And that is this dangerous enemy that is on the prowl. And we've been looking at many of them, and we've gotten down. We began with submission, and we're all the way down to dealing with the Scripture. We've been there for just a little while, and the reason why is because it is indeed so important for us in this battle. As a matter of fact, when Paul was describing the armor of God in Ephesians chapter number 6, when he was describing that shield that God has provided for us, he revealed to us in that passage in Ephesians 6 that there's one offensive weapon, and that is, it's the sword. It's the sword that the Spirit of God has given to us, the sword of the Spirit. And ladies and gentlemen, the sword that the Spirit of God has given to us is indeed the very Word of God. Divinely inspired by the power of the Holy Spirit, this Bible that you and I have, the word of God that's been given to us, ladies and gentlemen, is our essential weapon if we're going to be able to withstand the dangers of the devil. And that is it. You've got to have a good relationship with the Word of God. And you've got to know something about the Bible. And you've got to be walking in the Word. And I've said to you before, like Joshua in the Old Testament, that great warrior that led the Israelites into victory against the enemy, against the enemies of God, that is one of the essentials for him, one of the most important things in his life, ladies and gentlemen, was not the sword that he had in his sheath, but it is indeed the Word of God that was revealed at Mount Sinai. And in Joshua 1, we discover that God spoke to Joshua as he took over the reins of leadership after Moses departed this planet. And God told him he needed to be courageous, not to be afraid, and he needed to keep his focus on the Word of God, not to turn to the right hand or the left, not to allow the law, the Word revealed at Mount Sinai, not to allow that to depart out of his mouth, but it has to be his meditation day and night. And if he'll allow the Word of God to be everything, be that which provides direction and guidance and principles for him and for the nation, if he'll do that, they'll be prosperous. And what it means is they'll get victory over the enemy and be able to take the land that God has provided for them. For Joshua, ladies and gentlemen, that great warrior, he led the Israelites to victory because he listened to the Word of God. And he did what God said to do. He is stuck with the Word. He was sticking with the Word of God, and it led to great victory. The same principle is true for us as well. Our battle, ladies and gentlemen, is not over the land, over territory, but our battle, again, is not against flesh and blood, but it is against principalities and powers. It is against spiritual wickedness that is operating in the world around us, ladies and gentlemen, and attacking our flesh within us. We are in a real battle, and the Word of God is central to the victory in that battle. that is sticking with the Word of God. I'm talking about searching the Scripture so you know what this book says, not just having a copy of it, but searching this book to find out what does this book say, finding out what does this book mean. And so that we can rightly divide or cut the Word of God straight, interpret it accurately, that requires searching the Scriptures. I'm talking about our lives being saturated with the Bible. You say, Pastor, don't you ever get tired of the Bible? No, I don't get tired of the Bible. I want my mind and life to be saturated with the truth of this book. I want it to be on my mind every day and all day. Ladies and gentlemen, this book, the Word of God, it is the key to victory, and that is our life saturated with the Scriptures. Listen, the key is to submit myself and to submit yourself to the Word of God. Listen, we search the Scriptures to find out what it says. And ladies and gentlemen, so we can submit to it and say, I want my life to be conformed to what God has revealed in His Word, surrendering to or submitting to the Scriptures. I'm talking about standing on this book and not being moved away from it. That this is the foundation of my life that I'm standing on, and I am not looking for another foundation. I'm not going to the secular philosophies of our day to find a foundation for my life. I'm not interested in the views of the humanist of our generation to find a foundation for my life. I found it many years ago right here in the Word of God, and I'm just going to stand right there. And that is the Word of God, standing on the Word. I'm talking about sharing the Word of God, that is taking this book that God has given to us so that we're not only sticking with it and we're not only searching it and we're not only, ladies and gentlemen, being saturated with it and we're not only submitting ourselves to it and ladies and gentlemen, you and I are not only standing on it, but we're going to share it with somebody else. And that's where the battle is at, and that is the devil is trying to stop us from sharing the Word of God. He'll do everything he can to stop the Word of God from being shared. Now listen, the devil doesn't mind false teaching being shared. As a matter of fact, that's his agenda. But when it comes to, ladies and gentlemen, studying this book and finding out what it says and what it means, interpreting it accurately and preaching it thoroughly and teaching it to others and being a witness of this word, that's what the devil is trying to stop. That's what he's trying to destroy, and that's where the battle is at. Ladies and gentlemen, those who are sticking with the Word of God, those, when I'm talking about the Scriptures, I mean we're going to teach it and tell everybody about what the Word of God says. There may be some that will like it, but listen, there'll be a lot who don't, but we're going to go ahead and share the Word of God anyway. And the reason why, ladies and gentlemen, is because this is where the battle is at. If there's anything that your family and our culture and mine needs to hear, it is the truth of the Word of God. And you and I have been given the great privilege of being soldiers in this battle for the truth and to share the Word of God. And I've tried to describe to you why the Bible is so important to us. And that is those of us who are in this battle, why is the Bible so important to us? Why is it so central to the battle that we're in? Let me remind you what I've said so far so I can get to the point I want to preach to you about tonight. And that is this book, the Word of God, is the seed that gave us life. The seed that gave us life. Listen, when you entered into the realm of eternal life, it's because the Word of God was like seed planted on the inside of you that brought you to the point of conversion, that brought you to the point of the new birth. 1 Peter 1 tells us in verses 23 and following, ladies and gentlemen, that we've been born again by the Word of God. It's the seed. The Word of God is the seed. It's the seed that gave us life. I said to you that the Word of God is the food that produces soldiers. And that is the soldiers that grow up to be great warriors for God are those who've been eating the right kind of food. And ladies and gentlemen, the right kind of food is the Word of God. It is that food. It is, ladies and gentlemen, milk for the baby and meat for the mature. The Word of God is that food. I've said to you, it is the light that exposes Satan. This Word, the Bible, is the light that exposes the devices of the devil, that exposes the traps of the enemy. Listen, the enemy, he operates in the realm of darkness, and we'll revisit that in a moment. But he operates in the realm of darkness, and this book is the light that exposes that. This book is the sword that cuts deep. A two-edged sword, ladies and gentlemen, is described as it reaches into areas of our humanity that nobody and nothing else can reach, even to the joints and marrow and the thoughts and intents of the very heart, the invisible part of humanity. This word is the sword that cuts deep. I've said to you, it's the breath, ladies and gentlemen, the breath that equips warriors. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, the Word of God, the Scriptures are divinely inspired, which means it's the very breath of God. It's the divine. God breathed, and we have the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the divine breath that comes. Its source is the Holy Spirit. and is given to for the purpose, ladies and gentlemen, so that we might profit, so that we might understand, so we might grow in the areas of doctrine and reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness, and Timothy, so that you, the man of God, might be perfect and thoroughly, completely furnished for every good work. This book, Timothy, is the breath that will equip you to be a great soldier. It still is today. This book is. I said to you Wednesday night, this book is the guard that prevents sin. The Bible tells us if we'll hide the Word of God in our heart so that we will not sin against God in Psalm 119 and verse number 11. Listen, if you get the Word of God on the inside, and get it off the pages of the off of the pages of the book and internalize the Word of God, it'll be like a guard in your life, standing in the way of sin in your life. It's like a guard that prevents sin. Some of you are in the service this morning, and I say the Word of God is like water that cleanses completely. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse number 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? A young man that's tempted and drawn away by sin, how's he going to get his way cleaned up? The Bible says, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. And I spent a lot of time in the services this morning trying to describe to you what it means to take heed to the word, to pay attention to this book. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other, but pay attention up to it and get a hold of it and grab a hold of it and hold on to the Bible. Take heed to the word of God, and if you will, it'll be like that cleansing, like the water that cleanses you, like Paul wrote about in Ephesians chapter number 5, he wrote about being sanctified and cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word. And that's what God's trying to do in your life. Listen, I said to you that we've got spots and wrinkles. Paul writes about them in Ephesians 5. Spots and wrinkles. Do you know the devil knows where those spots are? He knows where your wrinkles are. And ladies and gentlemen, the devil will tempt you in any way he can in the areas of your spots and your wrinkles. You say, well, Pastor, what do you need to do? Well, you need to get the spots cleaned up and the wrinkles ironed out. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 5 that the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God is that means by which God washes away the stains and the spots and irons out the wrinkles in our lives. The Word of God is key. It'll straighten you out. It'll straighten you up. It'll wash away the filth and the ungodliness and the spots in your life that get spotted up. It'll iron out the wrinkles so that you can be a glorious, glorious child of God, reflecting the image of Christ. God's trying to make you like Jesus. And listen to me now. The more you become like Jesus, the more victory you are able to experience. And the Word of God is the key through which the Holy Spirit operates to do that in your life. Well, you were in the service this morning, and so you heard me preach that. So I won't go over that again. So let me get to the point I want to talk to you about tonight. You can turn to the book of Jeremiah, and you've turned over there to Jeremiah 23. I want you to notice with me how Jeremiah pictures the Word of God. He uses two images. In Jeremiah 23, verse number 29, this is one of my favorite verses in the book of Jeremiah, among a few others. But he gives us a picture of the Word of God that helps us understand why the Word of God is so important, why it's so central to those who are involved in spiritual warfare. Why it's so important to us here at Eastern Gate. Why it is that, that some of you wonder why in the world you have to be here on a Sunday night when you could be at home watching your TV or looking at your iPad or whatever it is you look at. I mean, why is the Bible, what's so big deal about the Bible? Isn't it just another book like all the others? Oh no, Jeremiah tells us that this book is the Word of God, the Scriptures, ladies and gentlemen, are unlike anything else. And he uses some pictures here to describe it for us in chapter 23 and verse number 29. Here's what he asks. Here's what God is asking through the prophet. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord? And then secondly, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. God is saying, and by the way, this question has an expected answer, and that is yes. And that is, yes, your word is like a fire. And it is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. We need to take those two thoughts up for a few moments this evening from the book of Jeremiah and in the context of the book of Jeremiah so we can apply that to our life today and understand why the Bible is so important when it comes, ladies and gentlemen, to withstanding the dangers of the devil. Let's do it backwards instead of, and from Jeremiah 23, 29, let's talk about the hammer and then we'll talk about the fire. That is, the Word of God is the hammer, ladies and gentlemen. It is like a hammer. I might just put it this way, the hammer that destroys strongholds. The Word of God is like a hammer that destroys strongholds. Now, when I use the word strongholds, it is a word that should be familiar to you. It's a New Testament word that Paul writes about in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. I referred to it in a previous message, but look at it again if you would, and then hold your place in the book of Jeremiah, because we'll be back there in just a little while. And that is the enemy, ladies and gentlemen, the enemy is trying to build strongholds. And these strongholds is a word that describes a fortress. Is in military terms or in the ancient warfare, it's describing a place that had been conquered by the enemy and from which they set up camp and from which they are launching attacks into other areas. It's like a fortress where the enemy is abiding and launching attacks. And I want you to know that our enemy, that is the devil, also is into this stronghold business. And that is trying to set up camp and trying to set up a fortress in various areas of life. And he's doing that in our culture, and that's the context of Jeremiah, and that is in the culture of Judah. Jeremiah was a prophet to the southern tribe of Judah in the latter days of the empire, just before God allowed it to be destroyed and by the Babylonians. And ladies and gentlemen, the devil has set up strongholds in cultures. And from those strongholds, the devil launches his deceptive, destructive attacks on families and on lives. Now, I'm going to say that this shouldn't be hard for you, if you're observant at all, to realize that that's going on in our culture today. And that is, the devil has found areas where he can set up strongholds and from which he can launch his deception, his lies, and he can launch his attacks. That is, so he can begin to devour individuals and families and a culture. But it's also true in our personal lives as well. And that is, the devil's looking for, he's trying to find areas where he can cause defeat in our life. And in those areas where we've allowed the devil to operate and defeat us, in those areas, the devil, ladies and gentlemen, will launch attacks into other areas of our life. Let me just give you an example, one example, and there's so many that I could give you. But one example is one that I preached about here another few services ago when I talked about the fact that we need to surrender all of our hurts and all of our bitterness and all of our anger to the Lord. And the reason why is because when you harbor anger and bitterness on the inside of you, if you don't get that surrender to God, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say to you that it becomes an open door for the enemy to begin to attack. As a matter of fact, it can become a stronghold in a person's life. That is, if you're harboring anger on the inside of your heart, you've been hurt by somebody and they've done something to you. It might be that you were just raised up in an angry atmosphere and you just kind of conformed to the anger that you were raised up in. It might be there's been some bad things happen in your life that cause you to be bitter and angry on the inside, and you've never really gotten before the Lord and gotten all that surrendered to Him, just letting it go and giving it to God and surrendering it to Him and experiencing the wonder of the healing that He brings into your life when you let go of that bitterness and let go of that anger. If you keep harboring that on the inside, you know what you're going to become? If you harbor anger on the inside of you, guess what you're going to become? You're going to become an angry person. Every time something goes bad, you respond with anger. You say, how do you know when you got anger on the inside? Every time the pressure gets on, you respond with anger. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to find out what's in somebody, just squeeze them a little bit. Oh, listen, when there's no squeeze on, a lady can put on a little bit of a show. They can pretend to be somebody they're really not when there's no squeeze on. But when somebody gets under the squeeze, then you find out what's really on the inside of them. And when the squeeze gets on you, you have to look at yourself. You got to back up to do this now. And you got to look at yourself and say, what comes out when I get under pressure? And if what comes out of you is anger, that is, every time there's pressure, every time there's disagreement, every time there's a little bit of pressure on you, whatever it might be, whatever the source of the pressure might be, if your response is just to be angry, then listen to me now. The reason why is because you got anger built up on the inside of you. You say, where did that come from? It came from inside of you. You say, listen, you might say later on, I don't know why I did that. I acted that way. I can tell you why you did. It's because that's what's in your heart. It's what's in you. So how do I get rid of it? Surrender is the key. It's on your outline there. Surrender, that is, give before the Lord. And listen, allow Him to work a work in you that brings you to the point that you, from your heart, can let go of that. Now, I'm not trying to re-preach that again, but I want to give you an example of a stronghold. Anger that is not dealt with in a person's life can make them an angry person, and it becomes a stronghold on the inside of them, out of which the devil launches attacks into other areas of his life. It might be that, ladies and gentlemen, a person who has this stronghold of anger on the inside of them and they react with anger often, before long their relationships are starting to get really strained. And that is, now their marriage is under attack, or now their relationships at work are under attack, and now the relationships in other places of church are strained. And the reason why is because they got this stronghold in their life called anger that they will not deal with, and the enemy is using that to try to destroy relationships in their life. And that's not even counting the physical toll it takes on you. That is, when you live with anger built up on the inside of you, it takes a physical toll on our body. And it takes a toll on our relationships. And I could give you other examples. I could give you the example of lust, couldn't I? And that just harboring lustful thoughts and not dealing with that and getting that surrendered to God and getting it healed over and dealt with in your life. Listen to me now. It is from that that the devil has launched all kinds of destructive attacks in our culture. You and I live, ladies and gentlemen, in a culture that is absolutely perverted and twisted. And I'll tell you, all it boils down to that is, you can listen to all the psychologists' explanations all you want to. It is just simply lust out of control. Lust out of control leads to all kinds of debauchery and ungodliness and sin and perversion. And there are people in our culture whose lives are being destroyed. Their lives are being destroyed by the enemy. And the stronghold, ladies and gentlemen, is evident from this stronghold of uncontrolled, unrestrained lust in our culture, ladies and gentlemen. From that, the devil is launching his attacks. I'm just trying to give you some examples of how he operates. That is, strongholds. In 2 Corinthians 10, here's what he writes. Paul writes about it. And he says in verse number 3, he was being accused of being acting fleshly by some folks who were attacking him in the church at Corinth. And just not to get into all of that, let me just say that they were accusing him of just being fleshly and not being a godly spiritual man. And so he said in verse number 3, being rather sarcastic, he said, though we walk in the flesh, he said, I guess they're right. The enemies that are accusing me of being in the flesh, they're right. Every time I walk around, I have to walk in the flesh. It's hard to get around if you don't get around in your flesh, isn't it? You got to use your feet and your legs. And he said, I guess so. I guess I walk in the flesh, but he says, I don't war after the flesh. Oh, I have to live in this flesh, but I'm not in a fleshly battle. In verse number 4, he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That is, God has given us some powerful weapons, ladies and gentlemen, but it's not weapons that we use to battle in the flesh against physical enemies, but instead it's for the purpose of destroying these strongholds. And he describes to us what these strongholds are in verse 5, casting down imaginations, that is, philosophies and thought processes and belief systems, imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. He's talking about belief systems, ladies and gentlemen. He's talking about philosophies. He is talking about our thought processes and belief systems. And he's telling us that these are areas where Mr. Devil has built strongholds. And ladies and gentlemen, it's true in our culture. It's true in our lives. The strongholds that the enemy has built, ladies and gentlemen, are these areas of ungodly humanistic philosophies in our culture. And by the way, nothing has really changed. The same kind of basic philosophies were being taught in the first century as well in the Greek Roman Empire, just like it is now. And it is false beliefs that is being spread. It is ungodly, worldly attitudes, ladies and gentlemen, and belief system. It's that which exalts itself in contrary in contrast or against the knowledge of God. That is, what God has revealed as being true, that which is in contradiction to what God says is true, is the strongholds that he's talking about. And it is from these strongholds that the enemy is launching his attacks. False religious systems, false beliefs, secular belief systems, ladies and gentlemen, that are contrary to the Word of God. And you and I are exposed to all of that as we're growing up in our culture. The humanistic, materialistic society in which we are raised up in has filled us with false belief systems. It has given us false hope. It has given us a false faith. There are many people, ladies and gentlemen, that have never rested their case at the cross. Their belief system has rested, ladies and gentlemen, in a perverted religious system that depends on human works rather than the work of Christ on the cross. It is a twisted, humanistic, materialistic system that you and I have been raised in that rests on the money that we can make and the material things that we have as the foundation for our comfort and our peace. That peace of mind comes through being financially stable. That's the American system. That's what we learn in America. But it is a false belief system, and we could give you thousands of examples of people who have much in material wealth who simply have not achieved peace of mind. Instead of have resorted to all kinds of substances to try to discover that, and still cannot. You say, why is that? Because it's not true. But it is from that belief system that the devil has launched his attacks. And there are people that are working, that are striving furiously to give enough money and have enough things to be able to achieve what it is that they believe to be finally peace of mind. And they never find it. For that reason, ladies and gentlemen, we have a generation that is depressed and discouraged. There's an emptiness on the inside that none of this can fill. And no matter how much I have, I can't find what I need on the inside, my soul. There's something missing on the inside of me that I can't fill. And so we depend on all kinds of medications to try to get us through that. It's life in America in the 21st century. The belief system from which the devil is destroying lives that raises itself up in contrast to the knowledge of God. It's a stronghold. We run to churches and try to find an answer. And that is, what is it that can fill this emptiness on the inside of me? And one church says it's the sacraments that will do it. You say, well, we know that's not right. And then you go to the other church and they said, we know what it is. It's just getting baptized. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, just get baptized and that'll be it. And we know that's not it. And they run to the next church and say, you just come walk the aisle and pray this prayer. Just say this prayer after me and that'll take care of it. And you pray the prayer and you get back up as empty as you went down. Still there's something missing on the inside. Still it's not right. You see, where will I ever find the answer? Ladies and gentlemen, the only thing that will destroy, the mighty, powerful weapon that destroys the strongholds of the enemy is the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God. It is the hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Oh, it really is. Now, that's the context. That's what it is that Jeremiah is talking about in Jeremiah 23. Flip back over there, if you would, please, and I'll show it to you real quick. In Jeremiah chapter number 23, and let's back up just a little bit, if you would, and notice beginning of verse number 15, that in the context, when he talks about this hammer that breaks the rock in pieces, he's talking in the context of false teaching in Judah. Now listen to this. Let me give you the context real quick, okay? I'm trying not to drag this thing out, but it's getting draggy on my heart. Listen, Judah, in the day of Jeremiah, Judah is on the verge of divine judgment. This is God's chosen people, his chosen nation, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jerusalem and Judah. God's chosen people have rebelled against him. They have listened to the false prophets and they bowed down to the altars of Baal and they have rebelled against God. They have turned away from the Word of God. They've turned away from the men of God. They're persecuting the men of God like Jeremiah. They will not listen to the Word of God. And ladies and gentlemen, the judgment of God is on the horizon. And there are men of God like Jeremiah and others who are standing up and saying, listen, if we don't repent now, the judgment of God is going to fall on our nation. And they still will not listen. And the reason why they will not listen is because of the strongholds that are present in their society. I'm talking about the false teachers that are teaching and preaching a message that is contrary to the message of God's men like Jeremiah. You can see it clearly. In Jeremiah 23, verse 15, it says, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets. That is, he said, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. Now listen, that's not good water. That's not good eating. He said, for from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. The prophets, these false prophets in Jerusalem, are speaking profane things throughout the land, spreading a profane message, the Bible tells us. Verse 16 says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets. Don't listen to these prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain, empty. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. What they are preaching to you is what they have devised out of their own selves. It is not from God. These are teachers. These are philosophers. These are prophets, ladies and gentlemen, so-called in Judah and Jerusalem that are preaching and teaching a message that God did not give them. It came out of themselves. We have a term that describes that. I mentioned it earlier. It is humanism. It is a message that flows out of humanity and not from deity. It's not God's message. It is man's message that centers around man and not around God. And that's what they were hearing here in the land of Judah. Listen to verse 17. It says, they say still unto them that despise me. The Lord has said, here's what they're saying. Here's the false prophets. Here's their message, you shall have peace. And they say, everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Here's the message of the false prophets, and that is, it's just going to be peace, and nothing evil or bad is going to happen to Jerusalem or Judah. God would never allow what Jeremiah's preaching about to happen. Jeremiah, listen to me. Jeremiah is so unpatriotic that he is preaching a message of doom for Judah. He's telling them that we are on the horizon, on the verge of being invaded by an enemy. And our nation's going to be destroyed. We'll have a little time to repent. If we don't, then our nation is going to be destroyed. And listen, the false prophets are saying, what an unpatriotic man. That is a man that goes around and said our nation's on the decline. A man, the prophet, that's going around saying that our nation is going downward, spiraling downward. What a terrible message that is to the great nation of Judah. Listen, we are God's chosen nation, and God would never allow anything. This is where Jerusalem is at. God would never allow Jerusalem. He's talking about Jerusalem being destroyed. God would never allow his holy city to be destroyed. The prophets would say nothing evil like that will ever happen. The battle is between two messages. The message of God's man Jeremiah that says if you don't repent now, destruction is on the horizon and coming soon, and it did. And the message of the false prophets who are saying that's so unpatriotic. Don't listen to them. No. We're God's people and it's peace and nothing evil or bad is going to happen to us. That's their message. The Bible says in verse number 18, for who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word, and who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. And listen, it shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. God is saying that my judgment is going to come upon you like a whirlwind. The anger of the Lord shall not return, verse 20, until he is executed, until he has performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, you'll consider it perfectly. And that is that God is saying, I will do what I've said that I'm going to do. And in that final days, in those final days, you will see, you will finally see, as the nation falls, that what I said through the prophet is true. Verse 21, listen to what God said. I have not sent these prophets. Listen to this verse. God is saying about these false prophets, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. Yeah, they ran to the people to give their message, but God said, I'm not the one who sent those running prophets. I have not spoken unto them, and yet they prophesied. They exalted them up before the people to preach this message, but God didn't send them, and God didn't give them the message. It is a false message given by false prophets. Verse 22 says, but if they had stood in my counsel, if they would have listened to me, God is saying, and had caused my people to hear my words, then should they have turned them from their evil way and the evil of their doings. And that is, if these prophets would have listened to my word and taught what it was that I was saying, then the people would have repented and turned from their wickedness. That's what the response would have been. But that's not what they did. Instead, they preached the false message. Everything's going to be all right. Nothing bad is going to happen. As a matter of fact, you just listen to us and we'll get better and better and better and better. These people going around saying that this is sin, just ignore them. There's nothing wrong with this. This wickedness in the land of Judah, they're going around saying how bad it is. They're just trying to manipulate you. Don't listen to them. No, indeed, everything's fine. Everything's good. It's peace, and nothing bad is going to happen. Verse 23, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God far off? In other words, God is saying, am I limited in my scope? Well, the answer should be no. He says, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? That is, you don't think I can see everything going on, saith the Lord. Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. I know I see everything everywhere, God is saying. In other words, the false prophets, ladies and gentlemen, living lives of wickedness and debauchery and promoting it, and God is saying that I see it all. I see it all. Verse 25, I've heard what the prophet said. That prophesied lies in my name, saying, I've dreamed, I've got a dream that is God has given me a vision, and here's the message, and God is saying it's a lie. It's not true. It's a false message. Verse 26, how long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of deceit of their own heart. They made all of this up themselves out of their own minds and hearts. They're deceivers, and these false prophets are liars. Verse 27, which think to cause my people, here's their purpose, here's what they're trying to do, to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. That's the end result of the false prophets. The end result, ladies and gentlemen, is that they forget God, the true and living God, and bow down to a false god that they have made themselves. The gods of the world around them, the gods of Baal. Now I'm going to say to you that the gods of Baal, the Baal gods, ladies and gentlemen, Baal is the storm god or the rain god that was worshipped by the Canaanite people that began to be worshipped by the people of Judah. Now the reason why they worshipped this god, there's one reason, one main reason why they worshipped this god, and that's so that they could become wealthy. And that is that they lived, that is in this time period, they didn't go to the factory and make cars and produce products, but they grew crops. They were their income was agricultural. And as you all know, if you're going to grow crops and make a lot of money out of it, you need some rain. And this god Baal is the storm god or the rain god that the Canaanites worshipped in order that he would send the rain. They believed that he controlled the weather. He controls the rain. And so they bowed down to worship him. And so the Israelites decided, that is, the people in Jerusalem and Judah, they decided, ladies and gentlemen, this has been a long-running thing, and that is, maybe we ought to worship Baal too. You know the reason why, don't you? So we have good crops. You know the reason why we want good crops, Brother Greg, is so we can make a lot of money. We want to be rich. We want to be wealthy. The motivation for worshiping Baal is covetousness. That's why they did it, ladies and gentlemen. And the false prophets are saying, that's good. That's good. I mean, that's it right there. That's the dream. And that is that we would be successful and wealthy and that we would achieve wealth and progress. That is our dream. That's what we're trying to do. That is the ultimate, is it not? That's the ultimate. And in the process of preaching a false message, the people are forgetting about the true and living God, the Word of God, the law of God. And they are embracing a message of covetousness that focuses on the worship of a false god, Baal. Now, our Lord is wise to this, and he worded it a little bit different, but here's what he said. And he said that in Matthew chapter number 6, he said, listen, you can't worship both God and mammon. No, it's one or the other. And that is, if you try to worship one or the other, you can't do it both, because you're going to hold to one, or that you can't serve both God and materialism. You and I live in a culture that's just like the land of Judah. And that is, just like in the land of Judah, ladies and gentlemen, the false idol, one of the main gods that's worshipped and idols that is worshipped in this nation is materialism. And that is that we worship things, we worship money, and what it is that money can buy. Now listen, we all understand the necessity of finances. All of us understand that. But I'm going to tell you, it cannot become your God. It can't become the focus of your life. It can't become what it is that you live for. But you live in a culture that's the message. That's it. That we want to become wealthy. And if that means just, you know, God understands that, doesn't he? I mean, doesn't God understand that? Now, here's what God would say. And there's God would tell us, ladies and gentlemen, to beware of covetousness. Because your life does not consist of the abundance of the things that you possess. Your life is not about how much you have. Stay away from covetousness. Beware. It is dangerous in your life. It deceives. Listen, covetousness deceives. It blinds you so that you begin to bow down and worship a false god instead of the true and living God. There's something more important than money, and it's the master. And listen, in the land of Judah, they've been deceived by these false prophets. Now listen, it is out of this stronghold, it is out of this that the devil launches his attacks and destroys lives and destroys cultures. It's happening around us right now. In our very culture, we are in decline. We are spiraling downward. Ladies and gentlemen, because the true and living God has been left on the back burner across our society, those who make decisions and those who elect people. I tell you, you ought to be prepared to go to the polls, and you ought to be prepared to vote, and you better vote, and you better vote right. Amen. To put people, ladies and gentlemen, in office, the very best we can find, the very best there is. But I tell you, even more than that, you and I need to be on our knees, and we need to be praying for spiritual awakening in our country. The desperate need of the hour is spiritual awakening in our churches, that we would repent of our covetousness, our materialism, and realize that what we need worse than we need the dollar is we need God. We need His power. We need His presence, ladies and gentlemen, more than anything else in the world. We need Him. Some of the poorest believers on this planet that meet in places hiding and hiding have more power on their ministries than we do in this culture with all of our wealth and, ladies and gentlemen, all of our organization and all the things that money can buy in churches across this country. We need God. With the Bible, let me just move on. I told you I was getting a little draggy and dragging this out. But notice what the Bible says now. The Bible says in verse number 28, that the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is chaff to the wheat? In other words, he's saying to the prophets, I know there are these false prophets out there, these false teachers, these secular philosophers, and I know the message that they're preaching, and what they're saying is lies. But those of you that really do have a word from God, who really have a dream or a vision, that is, those of you that have received God's word, you stand up and speak it. All of this other is chaff, and you're the wheat. What is the chaff to the weed? And he said, the wind blows away the chaff. You're the weed. Go ahead and stand up, Jeremiah, and preach that word. And the reason why is because that word is like a hammer that breaks the rock into pieces. The word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, is what destroys the strongholds of the enemy. It's the only answer for the false philosophies of the day in Judah. Listen, it's the only message, ladies and gentlemen, that is true and right. And he's saying to Jeremiah and the other prophets, stand up and take that hammer and start busting that rock apart. The rock referring to the stronghold of false teaching that had permeated the culture of Judah. Now listen, when we're talking about a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces, we're talking about the big hammer, aren't we? The big hammer. Some of you that know something about hammers, you know the difference, don't you? You know, you got the little finished nails and you got the, maybe you got a little bitty hammer you used to. Now I know most people don't even use hammers anymore. But listen, if you still used hammers, because that's what we're talking about here, right? Hammers. Maybe you got the little finished nail and you use a little hammer on the little finished nail. But listen to me now. When it comes to the big rocks, man, they got the big hammers for that, don't they? Some of you, have you ever grabbed a hold of a jackhammer before? I've had a hold of a jackhammer, and I think I'm the one that got hammered. The big hydraulic hammers that are used to bust up big boulders and big rocks. Well, listen to me now. There's a hammer that is so powerful that are to destroy the strongholds of the enemy. It exposes the lie of the devil. It reveals the humanistic philosophies, what they are. It reveals greed and covetousness for what it is. It reveals lust for what it is. It reveals the lies of the enemy for what they are. You know what that hammer is, don't you? It's the Word of God. It sure is. One of the things that I hope that happens here at Eastern Gate, I hope, is that when we gather together and we sing the songs and then we sit and listen to Bible preaching and Bible teaching, whether it be classes that we have or the services here in the sanctuary. I hope that as that's going on, as it is, that the strongholds that the enemy has built, those fortresses, those rocks that he has built, I hope that as the Word of God is being preached, that those strongholds are being exposed and dismantled and destroyed. I hope that little children that gather in here will hear what God is saying and decide, you know what? Life is not all about just making money. It's about serving the Master. I hope the young people will realize that they're being lied to. The culture that is telling them that life is all about satisfying your lust, that stronghold will be demolished. And they will realize that that is just a pathway to destruction. And a deception. I hope that when we gather together, that as the Word of God is being preached, that all of you will realize that those who are promoting the theory of evolution in this culture are doing nothing but lying to you. So that you'll bow down to a God that isn't real and not the God who created the world. I hope that as we gather in here and the Word of God is being preached, I hope that you will understand that the perversion that is present in our culture today, such perversion that is such that boys and girls are trying to figure out whether they're boys and girls, is nothing but a deceptive, demonic lie. You say, Pastor, you shouldn't say things like that. I'm trying to bust the rock up. To help to see the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, I hope that when we gather in to hear the Word of God preached, that you'll know that God created people male and female. And that when God created us male and female, He designed us for each other and not any other purpose or any other way. And everything else is nothing but a demonic lie and a perversion. Now listen, if that's an area that you struggle with, I'm trying to bust that rock up for you and destroy that stronghold. Because if you go down that road, all that it leads to is deception, depression, and destruction. Listen, there are some men of God in this country who will take this book and they'll study it and preach it. They'll preach it from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. They'll preach it contextually, accurately, and apply it appropriately. And you better listen closely, because just as there are great men of God in this country that do that, there are many more who've watered this book down, who pick and chose little phrases to build doctrines that aren't even biblical, ladies and gentlemen. And I'll tell you who's behind it. It is the enemy. It is that which exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And the only thing that destroys that is this book, the Word of God. And so for that reason, that's the reason why you and I need to get into this book. We need to dig in it and search it. We need to read it and find out what it says. We got to be studying it to find out what this thing means. We need to be hearing the Word of God, and every parent ought to have their children and their young people and teenagers right here in this church and in Bible studies to hear the Word of God every time. Every time. The false message of the culture, ladies and gentlemen, is leading to destruction. There's coming a day, ladies and gentlemen, when you and I are going to wake up someday. There's coming a day, and we're going to find out that our culture is under judgment. Now, we already are under Roman 1's judgment, but listen, there is much more that is to come. A nation that's had the light and truth and blessings that we have had, that have turned their, every nation that's turned their back on God has gone down the road of divine judgment. If God will judge His own people, Judah, and He did, just as Jeremiah preached, they didn't believe Him, but He preached it, and He preached it, and He preached it. And ladies and gentlemen, one day here came Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians and destroyed, over a period of time, Judah and Jerusalem and carried them away into captivity. You say, Pastor, that would never happen to this country and to our culture. Now listen to me now. You've been listening to the false prophets of our day. Any nation that turns away from God, the Word of God says, will be turned into hell, destruction. There's a window of opportunity for God's people to turn to God and cry out to God and pray and seek Him and to seek His face. But there'll come a time, as in Jeremiah's day, that window will be shut and judgment will be certain. I don't know when that is. I don't even know if it's in the end of our lifetime. But ladies and gentlemen, we are in desperate need of real spiritual awakening in our country. Now listen, the only thing that will destroy the strongholds of the enemy is the great hammer that God has given us. That's it. The great revivals that have happened in this country have been rooted in the preaching and teaching of the Word of God by men of God that knew something about the Spirit of God. And that's the only thing that will work today as well. What I'm trying to get you to see is why this Bible is so important when it comes to spiritual warfare. The devil has built strongholds in this country to destroy lives, to destroy our culture. Ladies and gentlemen, to lead us down a road where the gospel is put to a stop. Bible-believing churches are stamped down. And ladies and gentlemen, all that is left is a secular culture and a God to worship that is not the true and living God of the Bible. And as a result of that, destruction will be certain at that point. You say, Pastor, what's the answer? You got to get in this book and you got to stand on it, believe it, and tell it to other people. This word is the answer. The Bible, the Scriptures are essential. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and your people and what you're saying to us. God, I pray that you'll do a work in us that only you can do. Manifest your presence among us. God, I pray that you'll raise up some men of God in this place, some women of God, some young people who will quit believing the lies of the culture and believe the truth of Scripture. God, I pray, Father, for spiritual awakening right here in our own church, our own families, and God, right here in our own community. Father, help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to